My name is Derek Ferdinand Varner. May 21st, 1967. I was born in Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Windy City. I think the first thing I can recall at the youngest age, I think I may have been maybe 2 or 3 years old. Unfortunately, my dad and my mom divorced when I was 4. However, what I remember is being with my grandmother, my father's mother, in Alabama, Olmette, Alabama. And she had some property. It was about a half a block long, you know, in Alabama. And so me and my brother were down there. And just the love in the house, just the love. I was able to sleep with her. She would take us to church. She would take us to just different events. Her and my grandmother and my great aunt, they, like I said, it was 2 houses on maybe a half a block, maybe, I think it was maybe a half an acre, maybe an acre, maybe 2 acres. But just going back and forth, I thought that was the greatest thing, you know, running back and forth between the houses because it felt like a football field. And so, and just the love that was displayed from my grandmother, yeah. That's cool. When I think back, I can't remember my dad and mom being together. They were married. My dad was an active duty Marine. And so my mother, she was working post office and trying to go to school in Chicago. They moved to Chicago, but he was off, you know, doing deployment, you know, Vietnam, that era. And so he was going back and forth. And so mom was like almost single parent. And so I think that's why my grandmother took on the responsibility, you know, to help, you know, for a period of time, raised me and my brother. Yeah, we would go back and forth, I guess, between Lynette, Alabama, and Chicago. My brother, his name is Roderick Varner. He's 2 years older than me, and he's always been my hero. I always tried to emulate what he did, you know, with running, riding bikes, even leading up to, you know, teenage years, trying to play sports. He was actually one of the best athletes that I've seen. Actually, he played against Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Aguirre. He would, you know, they were all from Chicago, so we would go from, you know, different parts of the city playing different tournaments, you know, on the playground, you know, and so that was good, cool seeing that. But unfortunately, like I said, at 4 years old, my dad left. I could still see him with his duffel bag leaving when I was in the bathtub. But yeah, me and my brother, yeah, we were tight as thieves. We fought a lot, you know, because he was always trying to tell me what to do and make me do things. And I was like, no, I ain't doing it. But when it came to, if it was someone external than the family, man, if I knew he had my back, I'd fight anybody, you know, growing up. So that was good. Just having someone to know they got your back, that meant a lot. Because we didn't have the dad there, you know, so it was us. I think in later years, we were, you know, I think we went down to visit a couple of times when we were like adolescents, but then, you know, the relationship was strained, right? Because of just the dynamics of being divorced, of the parents going having issues. And so it wasn't until we became adults. I think I was in high school. My brother's 2 years older than me, so he went down. So he was able to form a relationship with my dad and my stepmother, kind of fostered that. And we have a sister too, you know. I don't call her step, but yeah, sister from that relationship. And so that kind of started things along the way. And I think when I got in the Air Force, because I graduated high school and I went straight to the Air Force, and then, you know, he and I started having dialogue. And I think over the years, right up until the time he passed away in 2020 because of COVID, we always had a good relationship. He was able to talk, you know. It was good. We were able to restore the relationship because it was broken because of the divorce, right? And there were some questions we had. Why? Why? Why this? Why did you leave? And, you know, did you know, man, if you would have been there, things could have been different, you know. But as we know, everybody has a story. It's her side, his side, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. In the end, you know, you just accept it. You know, God has given us the grace to say, you know what, it don't matter. We love both of you. Things happen. She remarried, he remarried, and we just went from there. And believe it or not, I think the relationship was it was good. It was good. Me and my brother, we went to I think from kindergarten maybe to. I went to a public school, and like I said, unfortunately, where we were living at, it was in the projects, you know. And so, but my mother, I think she recognized that the school system wasn't the best, so she got us into a Catholic school. So we went to a Catholic school called Holy Family. And so, of course, going to a Catholic school, which was good because it was more uniformity. It was smaller, right? We had a uniform. We had a uniform, and that was good. Wearing the uniforms, because that provided, that actually helped provide structure. So you knew what the expectations were, and I think it was good. I still can remember the nuns that taught some of the early classes, and I don't know, you're probably too young, but the paddles or the rulers. So they were able to, you know, discipline. You know, it wasn't abuse, it was just discipline. And so that's, you know, demonstrating that, it's like, no, I'm not, that's the deterrent. but going to school, getting to school at times was a challenge because, you know, we lived in a project. So there's something called the row houses where they were like this, you know, two-story, but small brick houses. And then you have the high rises where they were like 18 stories high. And so, of course, you got bullies. And so we have to defend ourselves. And once again, that's why I said my brother's a hero. He was, well, no, he was a good fighter. And so at times we have to, you know, avoid certain, you know, streets and certain times of day, try to time it. So to navigate going to school sometimes was a challenge, but we made it, and it was good going to school. When you got on Holy Family campus, it was like, okay, you made it. It was the ark of safety a little bit, so that was real good. Not only you had black on black bullying and crime going on, but where my school was located it was located next to an Italian neighborhood. And you know, so you had some issues with that. So yeah, I experienced that firsthand. You know, going, you know, trying to go to the store, you know, to get grocery store, to the major. Now you had the corner store, but if you need to go to the walk to the main grocery store, like a HEB, I'll put in that term, but it was called Aldi's, I think back then, but. Just getting to that store, you know, fighting with one hand, trying to keep the groceries in the next, or putting them down and scuffling and picking them up and running and putting back down and scuffle. So yeah, it was quite challenging at times. Within the school system, that was the beautiful thing about Holy Family Catholic School. It was diverse, in, you know, with the teachers, the white teachers, the black teachers, it was good. And some of the students that were interracial, we sort of got along. Like I said, once you're on campus, but it was just once you got off campus, things changed. You know, so just going through the neighborhood, you know, trying to get back home, and then you face not only with that, but then you got the blacks, you know. The bullying again, and gangs again. I think it's what they see in the media, what they read, you know, and also what's being taught. And like I said, what's taught in the home. You know, children repeat things, what they hear and see. And so they hear it, you know, in their own family, in their home, and then with their peer groups, their social groups, and their influence, yeah, it's going to come out. It's definitely going to come out. And so and that's on both sides, right? So I want to make sure I'm clear about that. And then, you know, being socioeconomically challenged, has an issue, you know, that brings its own sort of baggage with it. But yeah, I do believe it's taught. Holy Family was kindergarten all the way to eighth grade. So it was good.
Okay.
So we did have an eighth grade graduation. It was phenomenal. Oh man, 1982. That's when I graduated eighth grade. And then I was hoping to go to another, I was hoping to follow my brother to his Catholic high school. It was called San Ignatius, not San Ignatius, but oh man, I forgot the high school. But nonetheless, I was hoping to follow him. Remember what I said, my brother is a fighter. And so anything would set him off. Not set him off, but he's going to defend himself. And then when I graduated, my mother said, hey, no more Catholic school. You guys are going to public school. Right before that, I think 2 years before I went to high school, we moved from the projects to the west side of Chicago. It was more established housing, you know. But we caught the bus from where we lived to the elementary school. And when I graduated, going back to your question, we went to a high school. It was being integrated. And it was called Taft High School. And the new thing, I think this was an experiment on the school system's part, because they gave a stipend for us to travel up there to school. And, you know, they gave us a monthly stipend to travel. And so some of us, we kind of laugh about it. We said that was our little paycheck, you know, going to school. But it was further north of Chicago in a well-established white community. And it was one of the best, I think, was one of the best schools that, you know, Chicago has to offer at that time. It was, you know, there was being integrated, and there was some racial issues. There was some racial tension. There was some, we had to defend ourselves a couple of times, and based upon my experience, I knew that there was some, you know, KKK activity up there. Because once again, when we finished practice, you know, finished basketball practice or football practice, we had to catch the bus, right? So if you miss the bus, you don't want to miss the bus, because then, you know, it wouldn't have been a good day. My goal, my mother sent me there to go to school. Also, I had a little fun too, you know, but when I went to class, I tried to go to class and learn as much as I could. Some of the subjects were a little challenging. But I knew it was a difference. I would just say that it was a difference. Yeah, because I think we were getting used to them, and they were getting used to us. The beautiful thing about Taft, because like I said, it was an all-white affluent neighborhood, right? So they had opportunities. Like I got introduced to golf, right? We had a swimming pool, soccer. Some of the things that, you know, the average other predominantly black high schools in the heart of the city may not have had the opportunity to. Of course, always basketball. So, you know, went out for the basketball team, you know, freshman and sophomore year. My brother did, like James, very athletic. So the beautiful thing, we went to a lot of the football games and basketball games, so that was always fun. Then we were able to start driving to school. You build partnerships and friendships. And so when you start driving, you know, you can team up to drive and go to school with, you know, a couple friends. You know, either you drive or they drive, or you take turns to drive. And then not only football games or games in general, but we went to, you know, there was a club, you know, on Friday night and Saturday. It's called Da Vinci Manor. That was always a hot spot to get to and to look forward to. Yeah, so those are the things. We went clubbing and also skating. Skating, roller skating was a big thing. I still love roller skate to this day. So roller skating, going to the clubs. Actually, we went to drive-in movies, and so I don't know if anybody still did that today, but we went to a lot of drive-in movies, we went to the theaters, so went to carnivals. It was a good time. Looking back, it wasn't that bad, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, one of the movies is Shaft. Yeah, because he was a good guy, he wanted to fight, you know. So he was always trying to protect the underdog. Yeah, so Shaft. I don't know if you know Pam Grier. I loved her movies. Those were the two movies. The stars of the movies that you know, I would love, you know, growing up and seeing. Seeing Shaft. And of course, karate movies. Couldn't resist the karate movie. I love karate movies at the movie theater or watching at home. And so that was always good. I love karate movies. Rewinding back, I was trying to figure out a way to go to college, right? Because remember, going to that, you know, Taft High School, it was trying to prepare you to look towards the future. They had different trades in there. But I think talking to my mother, I watched her growing up going to school to become a nurse. Watched my mother. I would be in class probably at 5 years old, sitting in the back of class where she would be up front, you know, getting her instructions, trying to get. And then when I became a sophomore, we had a discussion and she showed me some information in the Jet and Ebony magazine. And this was probably over 40 years ago. Where she mentioned to me, she said, hey, high school diploma, it's not gonna mean a whole lot, you know, so you gotta get an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree. This was way back in 84 when we were having this conversation. So, and of course, my mother being a nurse, and she was the oldest of her siblings, because her mother died at an early age, so she took on the responsibility of really trying to, you know, not only manage and support us, you know, her children, her three children, but she had some sisters that didn't have the opportunity or seize the opportunity that she had to go back to school and do something. So my mother would, you know, help out with our extended family. And I knew education was key. So we talked to an Air Force recruiter. And so, you know, that sort of opened my eyes to the opportunity that, you know what, that's probably my way to get my education, because I wanted to go to college. I wanted to be an electrical engineer. I wanted to go to ITT, Illinois Institute of Technology. I always wanted to go there. But I didn't want to put that burden on my mother, you know. So I looked, God was, you know, I was going to church, and that's the other thing, church. So prayed and Laura opened up opportunity for us. Me and a group of friends, we talked to the recruiter. We would go there probably once a week. He would buy us pizza and soda, and we would take the ASVAB test. That's the test you can, you know, get in, see how good you score. And so they talked about the opportunities of, you know, education. And so I said, man, that's my way. And of course, when I shared with my mother in junior year that, hey, I signed that's my way out. That's how I'm gonna get my education, you know, after I graduate. But she was against it because it was, you know, tension of wars or rumors of wars were going on, and you know, she didn't want. And of course, my dad was what, Marine, so all of that probably played a factor into her not wanting to. But when she saw I was serious about this opportunity to get my education, you know, join the military and option of traveling. Getting my education, you know, she wanted it to, but you know, but that was pretty good. I think that was a good way, good opportunity to get my education. One of the other things I loved doing growing up, all my family, my mother, my brother, sister, and all my aunts, my cousins, we went to the same church. My great grandmother's. Mother, I would pick her up every Sunday when I got my license, you know, going to Sunday school. So I enjoyed that, you know. I think that's why I have an affinity to the elderly now. You know, I don't mind serving them and, you know, spending time with them as an elder. And so going to church, we were in the choir, we would compete against other choirs around the city and singing. And that's why I met my first girlfriend. Actually, it was my neighbor right across the street. She was even going to the church. You know, so that was a good, you know, looking back on that. I know God was Didn't know, I knew of God, didn't get really discipled, so I went to church, right? But the church wasn't in me. I knew that was the right place to be, at the right time, on that right day. I reverenced it, you know, but I really, there was no real discipleship. You know, it was Sunday school, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't really understand the full significance of what, you know, discipleship was. So, like many today, a lot of people just don't know. So, but that was a good time. Church, you know, amongst those other things I was telling you about, football game, you know, games, skating, but church was a very integral part in my life, you know, back then, growing up in junior high and also high school. At my first duty station, Germany, I was stationed on Capone Air Station. It was a little air station that's in Vogelweide in Kaiserslautern in Germany. And that's where I met my wife. She was one of our friends. She was one of my friends at the time. It was a group of us. We was going out to the club. Being over there, you always have to do war games, right? You have to wear the chem suits, work 12-hour shifts, you know, 14-hour shifts for the whole week, you know, in preparation of a chemical attack, biological attack. And so on Friday, at the end of the exercise, you're like, man, I can't wait to Friday night or Saturday night to go out to the club. So Yvette, who was my friend, who's now my wife, she had a Honda Prelude, red Honda Prelude, 5-speed. And so we was all going out. It was 5 of us in her car. So she didn't like to drive on the Autobahn, but she let my other friend drive. So it was 3 guys and 2 girls. And we was going on the Autobahn. And so I was sitting in the back rear of the driver. We're going down the road, and it was a nice beat. You know, it was some bass in there, you know, and then it started to drizzle a little bit. And we just, my friend, put it in fifth gear, which it was never in fifth gear before. Like, my wife didn't like to drive that fast. So we was zooming. We was doing over 100. And so I heard a thump. And I said, hey, I heard something. My boy B said, hey, man, you didn't hear it. It was just the bass. And he turned it up. Turned it up, be louder. So the next thing you know, poof, we're going to a tailspin on the Autobahn. And so remember, everybody's going fast, right? So they do zooming past us, and of course, the location we were, it was a cliff. So if you go over this cliff, you're going down hundreds of feet. So at that moment, I said, you know, Lord, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And I said, help us. I said, help, get us out of this. And if you get us out of this, I know you're real, you know, save us. And it seemed like we were spinning, right? And it seemed like somebody just stopped it, and we came and just parked the car like it was on the side of the road. And so my friend, he got out, you know, he don't smoke, right? But he asked Debbie, who was the other girl, for a cigarette. He walked down, he was just shaking, because we should have been dead. And, you know, the tow trucks came and they transported us back. And my wife, who was my friend at the time, her and Debbie, they still went out. But the 3 guys, we went back and talked about Jesus. I mean, talked about this near-life experience. And